3-1, let's go.
You are Locked On Bengals, your daily Cincinnati Bengals podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, Bengals fans, and welcome to another episode of the Locked On Bengals podcast. James Rapine, if you're watching on YouTube, as you can see, the co-host of this podcast still at Paul Brown Stadium. I'm in my hotel room. I'm Jake Lisco. I just yelled for an entire game, sometimes in anger, sometimes in joy. Yeah.
What did you say? Get off of my lawn.
Come on,
Three and one.
Three and one. What? I know. I'll bring the energy. I know you can. I know you have the energy. I see it. It's almost 2 a.m. on Friday morning, and we're lit. We're ready to go. Real quick before we dive into the game, shout out to everybody that came and saw us. That was really awesome, and that's part of the reason why Jake Lisco is a little hoarse. But what a game, Jake. And I got to be honest with you. I was dreading. And I told this to Ben Baby of ESPN. He's sitting next to me. I was like, dude, do you know what we're going to have to say if they lose this game? Like when the Jags were about to score their third touchdown and go up 21-0. And obviously that didn't happen. But I was like, I'm going to have to crush them. I'm going to have to just obliterate them for doing this on Ring of Honor night on a national stage. And obviously things changed for the better, but that was one of my stronger feelings. Like, man, we're really going to have to crush them later on Locked On Bengals.
I was sitting there at halftime. Like I was sitting beside Joe Goodberry, of course, in the stands. And we're like, man, is this really how this game is going to go for us? Like we come in from out of town. We're like, man, is this really the stage we're setting for the Ring of Honor? Like Ken Anderson and Ken Riley, you know, and Anthony Munoz are out on the field and we're trying to, and it was really cool to be fair, like really cool when they pulled the curtain off of the names on the actual Ring of Honor. It's just below the press box outside where you're sitting right now. That was a really cool moment, but like going into it, the energy in the stadium, it was rough, but like you mentioned this. So let's talk huge moment in the game in retrospect. When they get the stop on the 1.5 yard line and, you know, kind of comical going into the locker room after that, but massive stop there, right? Nothing is going right. Evan McPherson misses a field goal and it's like, what just happened? This guy's center cut all the time. And that kind of turns the tide of the game, right? Jacksonville starts getting and moving on offense. They're running the ball very well, shocked me that they ran so well in the first half, but they're doing a lot of, they're moving the pocket a lot of read actions, read option stuff with Trevor Lawrence and a lot of counter, a lot of misdirection. Like, I don't know if it was on tape or not. The Bengals did not appear to be ready for it in the first half, whatever Jacksonville was doing. It was hard for me to see because I'm at the end zone. Right. And massive stop though, to finish the half because the Bengals got the ball back, and that's huge, right? Yeah. Like, you get the ball back coming out of halftime. You score a touchdown, now you're in the game. And if it's 21-7 instead of 14-7, well, then they lose, right? Because they didn't – maybe the game goes differently. But, you know, Jacksonville scoring once in the second half, and that probably would have been enough if it's 21-0 at halftime.
Yeah. I agree. It was the momentum shifter, and, you know, they go into the half in – look, we talked about it with our keys. I said fast start. I freaking said it. And after the game, I think Joe or Zach. No, it was Zach. Zach Taylor was like, yeah, if we get off to a faster start on offense, our defense isn't out on the field as much. And, you know, it just changes everything. And he's like, that's on us and on me. And I agree with that because they didn't. And they were on their heels. And it was missed field goal, punt, punt, punt. End of the half.
Second and 16 running play. Second and 16 running play into third and 14 empty.
Yep.
Oh, I was in my mind. Oh, they're turning the lights off.
So that running, yeah, oh, they are. The lights off behind me. Yeah, if you're watching on YouTube. No, good thing I did my on-field stand-up a little bit ago. Anyways, yeah, that part of it was extremely frustrating. And that's the part where I was like, are you serious, Zach? Like, you have to figure this out. And to his credit, and to the Bengals' credit, and now this is where we can get into the positive. And let's start with Zach Taylor, because I don't know if anybody in Cincinnati media has been as critical of him as me over the past year and a half since I've been back in Cincinnati. The fact that on a short week, you're shorthanded, no Bates, no Woozie, Trey Waynes looks mortal, which you expect since he hasn't played in a year and a half plus, and you're getting gashed in the run game, your offense isn't moving the ball, they get the stop on the goal line. But I truly believe this. Every single person said there wasn't panic in the locker room. And it didn't feel like there was panic. It didn't feel like they were rattled. It didn't feel like the lights were too bright for any of them, from Evan McPherson to any of them. Like, I had no doubts when he was going out for the game winner, he was going to make it. My story was written. All I had to do was hit publish. And so they didn't waver. And yeah, part of it is you're playing a bad team that's lost 18 straight, and we could get into that, fine. But I think part of the reason they didn't waver is because of Zach Taylor and what he's building. It helps to have number nine, by the way. And man, what a second half it was, because that ball to Chase was a freaking dime. The 44-yarder that got everything going, that got you probably excited in the crowd. Paul Brown Stadium suddenly came alive again. Oh my goodness, that ball was just perfect. And it was a great route by Chase, and he got open, and obviously a really good catch. But once Joey B did that, look, that was Joey franchise at his best. And those are the words of CJ Uzama, who I'm sure we're going to talk about. But he calls Joe Burrow Joey franchise, and he certainly fit the bill on Thursday night.
Yeah, had a bit of a tight end game. We're going to have to talk about it, because we were asking this week, they're going to use these tight ends? And turns out the answer to that question is with a wink, according to CJ Uzama. Yes. And let's get into that, right? Let's get into what happened in the second half and Joe Burrow really turning it on, Joe Mixon turning it on, the offensive line turning it on. I had a hard time seeing some things from where I was sitting, but Jackson Carman also had the best pass pro rep of his life on one of CJ Uzama's touchdowns. So we can talk about that too. That was really fun. So let's get into some of the second half offensive success coming up next.
But first, I got to tell you about GetUpside, because GetUpside is going to save you money. All you got to do is grab your smartphone, right? Maybe it's an iPhone like me, or Android. So Google Play, if you have an Android, or the App Store, and download the GetUpside app, because you're filling up at the gas pump. I'm filling up at the gas pump. In fact, I just filled up today, and I saved money with GetUpside. All you got to do, download it, and you're going to make up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas that you get. And if you use promo code touchdown right now, you're going to get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up. That's 50 cents cash back, or up to 50 cents cash back on your first fill up. So don't pay full price when you could save a little money with GetUpside. So again, download it now in the App Store or Google Play, GetUpside, and use promo code touchdown to save up to 50 cents on your next per gallon on your next tank of gas.
I could use some gas for my voice, James, huh?
You need a little liquor.
I need a throat lozenge.
Yeah.
I did go over to the Holy Grail before I returned to my hotel to record this podcast at 2 a.m.? Are we at 2 yet? Yeah, we are.
Yeah, we're at two.
Joe Burrow played an incredible game.
He did. He's great.
Were there flaws in his game? Like, from my perspective, he didn't really make any mistakes.
Yeah. No. Flaws wise, didn't see any. I mean, he completed 78% of his passes, 25 of 32, 348 yards, 2 touchdowns, and was just a bleeping animal. And let me tell you the animal. Let me go to the play of the day. There was a couple plays to Uzama, right? But the play of the game that set up the Evan McPherson game winner.
Yeah, okay.
On the jailbreak screen, they're blitzing him, right? They're going all at him. And that's why he checks to that. Zach Taylor talked about that after the game. That was Burrow's check. He didn't have multiple options. He had one play from Taylor. Burrow checks to it. And Uzama's never ran that play where he's catching the screen and running upfield. And so they did that. But this is the part. So we know his intelligence. You've heard us talk about it. Obviously, everyone praises him for his intelligence, football savvy, all that. The thing I loved, Jake, was the fact that he got drilled. And I don't know who hit him, but just flattened on that play. And he gets up, sees what happens, and he's just fist pumping and like just crazy hype. And that's the thing that you get with Joe Burrow, right, is the intelligence, the competitiveness, all rolled into one. And you saw it on that play. I think that was it. So because it's one thing to come back. It's another to cap it off and to overcome a hold by Quentin Spain, overcome a false start. I forget who did the fall. Was it Jackson Carmen on that drive?
Jackson
I don't know.
Carmen, but there was a false start.
Yeah. So there were multiple penalties, and he sees it. He sees the blitz. He knows. I think it was a cover zero blitz. I think that's what it was. I think I have to go back and look and see what they said. And he was like, "Yeah, I saw it. I knew they were gonna be doing some of the Baltimore defense." He was like, "So we audibled, and boom, 25 yards later, CJ Uzama is a hero. Burrow got flattened, but he's getting up and he's screaming, and that's why everybody in that locker room thinks he's Joey Franchise. Plays like that. It's what a play.
I'm looking at the EPA numbers for this game from arbysdm.com, runningbacksdontmatter.com. CJ Uzama leading the way for Bengals non-Trenton Irwin skill players, by the way. Trenton Irwin on his one play, highest EPA per play that he was involved with. Joe Burrow, one of his best EPA games in his career, by the way, 0.44, I believe, EPA per play, which is very, very high. By comparison, Trevor Lawrence was at 0.25. That 0.44 is in the 91st percentile of EPA per play, so really, really good game there. And, I mean, that was obvious. Like we said, we talked about it. I mean, he was flawless, in my opinion. He had one pass batted at the line of scrimmage. That was a scary moment for me sitting in the stands. I couldn't really tell. It looked like it was definitely pickable. A lot of underneath stuff in this game and really took advantage of what to me looked like a lot of too high. Jacksonville didn't want to get beat deep outside. They got beat deep outside anyway, despite their best efforts. And it looked like they were showing a lot of too high in this game. And all I was screaming all game is throw it up the seam. Get somebody up the seam and split them. And we talk about 9-8-9, right? We talked about it with Mike. And 9-8-9, just the numbers for the patterns. Two go balls outside, those are your nines. And eight inside, which is either going to be a post or there's an option for that slot guy. He can cut it off and run a dig instead. Then it's not an eight anymore. But the play concept is 9-8-9. And we're like, man, run 9-8-9. It's there. They're split safeties. If they try to take away Jamar outside, you're going to have Tyler Boyd on the post. And we're talking about it all game. But instead of going over the top, Jacksonville wanted to keep the ball in front of them, and Tyler Boyd killed them all game. They could not handle Tyler Boyd underneath. They couldn't tackle him quick enough. Tyler Boyd had a monster game.
Yeah, 9 receptions on 11 targets, 118 yards. Yeah, I mean, look, Miles Jack's great. You'll take that all day long if you're the Bengals. Yeah. And that's what it was. I mean, they were going at it a lot. The defensive holding penalty, I believe that was was it on Miles Jack? I it might not have been. I might be getting my plays confused. My point is, Tyler Boyd versus Miles Jack, you take that all day. And, yeah, you're right. It was a Boyd game, and it was a tight end game. And that doesn't mean Chase didn't have his moments. Obviously, he did. Had some big catches. But, boy, oh, boy, Boyd reminding people. And the one catch, it was a 3rd and 6. And it was the play that he, like, hit his funny bone, he said, after the game. Oh, okay. But he caught the ball. Like, I don't even know how he caught the ball. And afterwards, because he was covered. There was a guy all over. And it was a corner on this play. And he said it was pass interference, defensive pass interference. I don't know. I'd have to go back and watch it really close. But I don't know how he caught it. He caught it with basically one hand, and it was like wrestled up against his shoulder pad. And it was a huge third down play. And that's what you get with him, man. And like that's the thing is like when he talked about Pittsburgh giving up, right? Like you get that edge from him. He has that edge because that's what he plays with. And you saw him play with it tonight. And
yeah,
he just reminds everyone how good he is. Because, you know, 9 receptions, a buck 18, you'll take that all day.
The entire offense in the second half was very impressive. I mean,
they scored on every possession.
They struggled in the first half for sure. They should have gotten a touchdown on that first drive. What was it, OPI to you? To me, so from my first look, from the end zone look, it looked like he pushed off, which I think is what the ref saw. When I saw the clip from the broadcast when I was looking on Twitter, it didn't look so bad. But from my angle, it looked like he extended his arm and threw the guy. And I think he just ran a pretty good route and got a little shove in.
Yeah, I think he got a little shove in, but his arm was fully extended.
Yeah.
So it looked like it was a big shove. Yeah. And he didn't even have to touch him. Because the way that the ball was placed, the moment he turned it would have been on him, it would have been fine. But yeah, that completely derailed the drive. Because I think they score. If that penalty isn't called, I think they score.
Oh, yeah. And then the entire game is different, right? And there's – I don't know what you believe about momentum, but, you know, if you do believe in momentum, then that was a big swing. That was a big swing in the game. Worth noting, this stat line for Joe Burrow, I talked about middle of field open a lot in this game. You saw the two high safeties a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the splits. Left sideline, he was 6 of 9 for 125 and a touchdown. And I think that includes the CJ Uzama first touchdown. Middle of field, get this, 16 of 16, according to PFF, in the middle of the field for 179 and a touchdown. Right sideline, 3 of 6, 44 yards. Middle of field, 16 of 16. It was there all game. And a lot of that is TB and some of that is CJ. Let me talk about the Jackson Carmen play. We haven't talked about the defense at all. We should talk about the defense. Let me talk about this Jackson Carmen play.
Yeah, do Carmen. We'll talk about the defense after the break.
Before we talk about the defense, I think it was CJ's second touchdown. And I turn around after the game or after the play, because where we're sitting is end zone and they're going away from us. The game-winning field goal came right at my face, though, so that was cool. But this particular touchdown is going away from us. So I turn around, and I watch it on the big screen behind me. And Jackson Carmen gets his guy on the ground right away. I think it's like a snatch. He gets a guy, pulls him down a little bit. He falls straight on his face. And Riley's looking inside for some reason from right tackle. I don't know if there's a loop or something, but he was watching inside. And Jackson sees this guy come around the outside. A guy loops around the outside around Riley Reiff, and Joe starts to slide right. And then Carmen sees a guy. Carmen gets a block on the guy. So he gets his guy on the ground, and then he pulls around behind Reiff and gets a body on this guy coming in, the guy looping. And I don't know who it was. I apologize. I didn't watch the game on TV. It's hard when you're sitting there live, but gets a body on that guy, and Joe has time to slide left and make a throw. And it's just an A+, in my opinion. I need to watch it again. But to me, watching it live and on the replay, fantastic rep from Jackson Carmen. That was a game-changing play. And credit him for that. Credit him for that. I didn't watch him all night, but I did watch that. And that was a really good play.
Yeah, I didn't notice it. So I'm glad that you pointed it out. And hopefully that's what he can do. I mean, he obviously didn't derail the Bengals offense, right?
Not too much. He did have some issues, but he wasn't perfect, but he was good enough. Yeah, he was good enough.
Exactly. And that's where I'm at with a young kid like that, a rookie. And especially if he's going to make plays like that, the high end plays that allow Burrow to roll, to move.
Great awareness. To open things up. Great awareness. Yeah.
Yeah. And look, it's tough. He made his NFL debut 4 days prior, or first NFL start. And then he's got to play again. And, you know, just recovering from that alone mentally, it was such a high winning in Pittsburgh for these guys, and the fact that they were able to do it is a good testament to them, considering they were in a hole. But yeah, it's good to see Carmen, because everyone's going to be focused on him and this offensive line moving forward.
And another clean, relatively clean game for Joe. He got sacked once. I don't remember what happened on that play. I think it was a play action shot play. And as soon as he turned around, Smoot was in his face.
He got sacked a second time, but the defensive holding.
Right. That's right.
Was called.
So. That's right. I was in shambles in the stands, head in hands. Oh, there's a flag. There's a flag. Say people behind me. And you take that. You take those real quick before we go to the defense. Some more stats from PFF here. The earlier splits for the passing splits for Joe Burrow, that's from PFF, also from PFF. Jamar Chase had 8 targets. His average depth of target tonight, 11.4 yards. They were targeting him downfield. 2 gains of 15-plus yards. Tyler Boyd, 11 targets, 7.8 yard average depth. So they're targeting Tyler underneath, obviously. 2 gains of 15-plus. His yards per route run tonight, 4.21. And that kind of sounds like nonsense. That's a really high number. You think you run like, you know, 40, 50 routes a game. Four yards per route, very high number. CJ Uzama, 6 targets, 3.8 yards per route run. Again, very, very high number. And all of it underneath, 6.3 yard average depth of target and 3 15-plus yard gains. I mean, touchdown, setting up game-winning field goal. Have a game, CJ Uzama. Have a game, CJ Uzama. And sorry, one more note before we go to defense. I was sitting next to Joe, right? And we're watching this game. We're like, man, why is Trent Irwin on the field? And we're talking smack about, you know, why can't we get Auden Tate on in these formations? And then, you know, the play starts and then Trent Irwin catches a 25-yard pass. And we're like, oh, I guess that's why he's on. I guess
a little back shoulder. Yeah.
Yeah. Making plays, man. Let's talk defense.
That was a tough catch.
It was a great catch. Great play. Yeah. I mean, that's what we saw all camp from him, right? Just making those tough plays, making the catch, being reliable. Let's talk about this defense, James. I'm going to shut up for a second, and we'll talk about the defense's effort in the second half once they figured out what Jacksonville was trying to do for them coming up, trying to do with them coming up next.
The Bengals scored 24 second half points, and you know why they probably did that? Because they are on the Built Bar plan, and they had a bunch of Built Bars at halftime. I can't confirm it, but maybe I am confirming it. Look, I talk about Built Bars all the time. At our event on Wednesday night, everyone's mentioning Built Bars to me, and I love it because they're the number one protein bar on the planet, and I want everybody to know about them. They're covered in 100% chocolate. They taste amazing, and whether you want the salted caramel or the double chocolate or the mint brownie or the cherry barcia or the list goes on and on, cookies and cream, maybe a little cookie dough, you can get it, and it's going to fit your macros. High in protein, low in sugar, low in calories, perfect for you. So check them out right now at built.com. Use promo code LOCK15 and you're going to get 15% off your first order. Again, built.com, promo code LOCK15 for 15% off.
Hey, before we talk about the defense too much, did you get injury updates after the game? I didn't see anything. I know Larry Ogunjobi left the game. I heard mixed reports. I heard he came back, but I never saw it myself. And Joe Mixon was limping on the sideline, I noticed, toward the end of the game.
Yeah, Zach said that Joe Mixon's injury was minor. He would have to confirm it. You know, that was right after the game. He was like, but he didn't think it was something serious with Mixon. But you're right, he didn't finish the game. As far as Ogunjobi, didn't get an update on him. I do believe he returned.
Okay,
but I would have to check that to confirm, much like Zach Taylor had to check on Joe. So hopefully nothing too serious for either guy.
Yeah, I was a little bit concerned when Ogunjobi went out because, you know, you lose a guy on a very, very strong rotation and you get guys starting to get fatigued and you're getting run on a little bit, but turned out okay. Trey Hendrickson, really nice game. He should have had a sack. Was there a defensive hold on that play? Like legitimately did Von Bell hold? Because I obviously couldn't see it.
I actually couldn't see it either because I didn't see it live. And then replay wise, I mean, I could find it on Twitter probably right now, but no, I couldn't see it.
According to Paul Dana Jr. I mean, I've seen some people say he held. According to Paul, he's like, yeah, Von Bell tried to hold and he missed. he reached out to try to grab him and he missed. But regardless, Trey Hendrickson had a really nice game. He had 6 pressures according to PFF. I mean, and it was visible. When we were there, he was a guy that was making Lawrence get off his spot, forced to throw away, I believe, on 3rd down at some point in the game, late in the game. Important decision. Was that actually the last throwaway before Urban Meyer punted on 4th and 4 from the 50? Might have been. Trey Hendrickson, really nice game.
Yeah. No, it was a really nice game. The last throwaway. Oh, yeah. You're talking about, was he pursuing Trevor on that 3rd down?
Wasn't Trevor Lawrence flushed out of the pocket on that play? Am I confusing with another?
No, no, you're right. No, he was flushed out, and I think he did throw it away. I believe it was Trey Hendrickson. By the way, Trevor Lawrence is a freak.
He's good. I can't believe Urban Meyer punted the ball on 4th and 4 from the 50. And he was never getting the ball back. What are you doing? Coward.
Well, you know what he would say? This phantom defensive holding is what cost us because we were going to get the ball back. Now, I'm not saying that's true, but you know that's part of it. But while we're on defense, I agree with you on Trey Hendrickson. I don't know what the hell Logan Wilson is doing.
Oh my
Maybe
God.
Maybe he's eating 12 Built Bars on the sidelines. This dude, double nickel, 55 is he's a baller. This guy, man, double digit tackles again. I noticed him all the time. I got the Flump little stat it. Guys. I got the little stat guys behind me that do the stats, and they're talking. They're really loud at Paul Brown Stadium, and you know they're doing their job. It's fine. But you know how many times I heard 55 yeah. Push out 55. He's all over, man. I mean, he's a baller.
In the goal line play.
That's all him.
It's another guy. That it's just to take you back to my game experience. It's another guy. I lean over to Joe. I'm like, man, Logan Wilson, we got a linebacker, man. Like, he was playing with swag tonight too. You notice that? Like, he is playing so confidently. He's hitting guys hard. I mean, the stop on the goal line is so important to the game. He's flying around the field. Note from PFF on the linebackers collectively, Akeem Davis Gaither, Jermaine Pratt, Logan Wilson allowed only 17 yards total in the passing game. And credit Jermaine Pratt, by the way. There was a play in the second half where Lawrence is scrambling right, and Jermaine Pratt is chasing him a little bit, but he realizes, I don't know if he feels it or if he sees it, he realizes there's a crosser coming behind him, and he just backs off of Lawrence just enough to take that window away, and then Lawrence has to try to run for it, and he gets like a 3-yard gain, sets up the 3rd and 4 instead of finding his guy who got space. I mean, the guy was open. I think it was a crosser. It might have been a flat from a tight end or something. I think it was a crosser, and I think it was in Mike Hilton's coverage. Mike Hilton had a bit of a struggle tonight. I don't know if he was maybe a little bit hurt, but he got picked on a little bit on underneath stuff and run after catch stuff. But really good play to highlight there from Jermaine Pratt. I talked to Mike about that one after the game. I found Bengal stands in the stands after the game. We talked about that Jermaine Pratt play. We both noticed that one.
Yeah, and he wrote about Jermaine Pratt before the game too, on his film review this week. So
really that's impressive. Yeah.
Since we're on the topic of linebackers too, Akeem Davis Gaither it was in the first half, I believe. Yeah, it was in the first half. The batted pass, the pass.
Oh yeah. I, that was one. My hat came off my head. I'm like, I thought he was going to pick it. I thought he was going to pick it.
Yeah.
From my angle, it looked like he had a chance. It was a great play.
It was a heck of a play. And it's like, you start to see those, and it's like, man, these young linebackers.
Yeah.
All right. You know,
they were talking them up at camp, too.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing. As bad as this defense was at times.
First off.
You gave up 21 points, and you didn't have your best player. You didn't have your best corner. Like, that is going to hurt you. It just is. Now, I get it. The Jags lost DJ Chark, and that changes things some. But still, I think they did. Overall, you take that, especially the point total. The 21 points, sign me up for that. I thought the Jags might score more than 21. So sign me up for that.
They should have. Punting 4th and 4 from the 50 doesn't help your cause. Not getting in from the 1.5-yard line, you know, I mean, totally changes the game. And a lot of plays did
game changer.
A lot of plays did go Jacksonville's way in this game, to be clear. Like, they got a bailout penalty when the Bengals should have gotten off the field at some point. They converted their 4th down. The Bengals missed a field goal. Jamar pushed off. You know, he got the OPI, and you know, so there's quite a bit that did go Jacksonville's way, or they made the plays. It's not just luck, right? Like, there's skill involved there, and credit Jacksonville. You know, they came out with a game plan that I don't think the Bengals were all that prepared for, and the Bengals, to their credit, figured it out. They found ways to move the ball. They identified the vulnerabilities, and Jacksonville didn't figure it out and adjust back. And Joe Burrow used his "I know the playbook like the back of my hand" knowledge to get him into the play to win the game. And
Did you see him? Because I know you went to his suit shop. Did you see his pregame look?
I did not, no.
Okay, it's okay. The suit, awesome as always. My man was wearing some Clark Kent glasses. This dude showed up to Paul Brown Stadium. I swear to anybody, go look. I saw the video of it, and I thought to myself, oh, my God, that's Superman. I didn't say anything. I wasn't going to tweet it. I didn't say anything. And then this dude went out in the second half and played like Superman. I mean, and he's Trevor Lawrence's kryptonite, because Trevor has had double-digit leads twice on Joe Burrow, and twice Burrow has come back against him.
Yeah.
And that how about that? And the other thing, I talked about Urban a little bit. You got to believe right now, as we record this at 2:22 in the morning, Joe Burrow is like, I got him. Yeah, bragging rights. Like, you know he's doing that wherever he is, whether he's at his house or playing video games or something. I bet he's still up. Riding that wave.
Everybody's up, man. I went over to the banks after the game, and the lines for the bars, there's like a stretch of like, I don't know, 3-4 bars over there. Like fully, like probably 4 or 5 people thick across the street, like from the door of the bar to the building on the other side of the street. And I'm trying to meet some people, and I was like, look, the line is like 500 people long. Maybe I'll see you next time. Not happening. That's my night. Then I got back to the hotel. Met some great people, though. So if you said hi at the game, great to meet you. If you said hi at a bar after the game, great to meet you. I got tired by the end, so if I was short with any of you, apologies for that. I just was a little bit tired, but great to meet a bunch of people. So appreciate everybody that came out, and that was a great show, what they put on at Paul Brown Stadium. It was fun to be there in person. It was fun to yell. It's fun to lose my voice. Fun to celebrate with people, and 3-1. You take it. If you would have said 3-1 before the season for the first four games, you would have taken it, right?
Sign. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And real quick, did we mention Evan McPherson yet? My guy is cold-blooded. Yeah. He's a cold-blooded killer.
I was worried about him because at halftime he was taking kicks to warm up after halftime. He missed one. Yeah. He missed like a 40-yarder wide right. I'm like, uh-oh. And then he made his next one. But he missed one at halftime, man.
Like, I don't call him money for nothing, Jake.
I saw people.
I don't call him money.
I saw people in the stands doing this. But
were they? Oh,
hand symbol.
You see, people try to hate it. It's a good one, man. It's a good one.
Especially all right, let's get out of here.
Especially when you're banking money like that. Yeah. Let's get out of here.
24-21. I don't know if we've even said the score. 24-21. Evan McPherson walks off on Thursday Night Football. They outscored the Jaguars in the second half, 24-7. All I need to see now, James, a complete game and a victory against a good team. And we have a good chance coming up here. We got a long week. We'll be back on Sunday. I'll be in Florida. I'll have had a chance to watch the game on TV copy, and we'll get some thoughts out there. And then we're into a new week. Until next time, Bengals fans, hoo day, and have a good one.